That's good.
Sounds like
WRI.
I don't think we need it.
Okay. Writing. How. We. Are. A. Rarely. H. G. Go out. To. C. To S. Shows because we have great bands performing here every Sunday night.
Why go out?
Why go out?
Have them come to you.
Yeah.
Great deal.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
That, then, there, this, P proves my points. Mm. Thank you. Amazing. But, has needs to get M-O more D-A-R dark. We need to get darker.
Is that possible?
That's possibly the,
is that possible?
The first time
oh, no,
anyone's ever said that to me.
The shirt. The shirt.
Yeah.
You were red.
A little splash of color today.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean.
Lyrically?
Lyrically.
I don't. Yeah, that's.
That's the first time anyone's ever said that. So. I'll do my best, Frank. I will. I will.
S-E-A-R, search, T-H-O, those, W-E, those wells.
And make a wish.
The deep sea.
How? Did you get into the well? How did you get into the well?
I think it was punk rock that did it. And you know, started to have to crawl out of the well ever since then. And that's been some years now.
Where? Where?
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans?
Yeah, I grew up in New Orleans.
I'm from New Zealand, he's from New Orleans. Sort of the same thing. You know?
Yeah.
They're sort of new.
That. K. I. N. Kind. Of. E. Explains it. But. The. Explains the. W, E, the well. That kind of explains the well. And the D, A, dark. N, New Orleans. P, U, punk. What a F C O. What a concept.
What do I say?
Say it all like you're
music,
honey.
Yeah, good melding of influence. We have Sandy from her jazz classical background.
And from California, too.
And Brad with his wishing wells and...
And swamps.
Yeah. What? How? Did you S start, Sandy?
I started playing when I was a child. We had a big family, and my mom and dad thought, well, we can't afford dance lessons, whatever. So it was mandatory for everybody to take music. And violin wasn't my first choice. I wanted to play the flute. But they gave me a violin. My older sister had one. She outgrew hers. They already invested a year, you know, pass me down her instrument. But I loved it from the moment I started. Yeah. And those were the days when school programs were really good. You know, even public school programs. Free summer programs for music, all kinds of stuff. You know, was available then in the schools, music was. That's how I got started.
And why? How? In jazz?
Boy, that was well into my adulthood, because as a string player, you don't get exposed too much. You see the big bands and stuff and all kinds of alternative music, but you don't get it in the studies. So I was in well into my adult age, and I was daydreaming about playing jazz. I don't know why, because I didn't really know jazz, but I'd done some improvisation in my youth. And I met John Handy, the alto sax player. And that was kind of my school of jazz for at least 15 years. We traveled and played with him, and that was my school. That's how I learned to apply the theory and stuff to jazz.
Oh, you lucky.
Yeah, really. I think so. Thank you. I was really fortunate that way.
She played with Dizzy Gillespie, too. Not awesome.
Oh, yeah, for the Black Filmmakers Awards show. They honored Dizzy Gillespie 1 year, and we got to actually play along with him. One of his songs, Am and On.
Wow.
Yeah. Been a good life in that way.
I. J. Just. P. L. A. Played. J. O. John. John. H.
Oh, John Handy.
L. A. Last night.
Wow.
Oh, which recording? Which one?
I don't. M. L. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I. B. R. E. I don't know because. You don't know because. My. S. H. O. My show. Hot wax. Frank Sherwin Lovers Hot Wax and John Handy is one of the artists that he plays in the show.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was my school of jazz.
How does this compare?
I think music is a world event, and people don't realize that even though we separate regions and world and cultures. Sometimes when I bring up my little American, what are you trying to say? But I think that music, because music's of these guys too. When you think about the early music in this country, even parts of Europe that were here as the influence of music, especially where violins come from, and then the blues got mixed in that. Even stuff I think about music from the Appalachians, the blues mixture in the 20s and 30s and stuff.
Yeah, we don't play no blues.
Oh, well, a little bit you do, I'm sorry. There's a little blues stuff in there. Anytime you hit like a diminished something. But anyway, I enjoy what they do together with their guitar. I feel like I'm just sort of the icing on the cake. And what they do is incredible. You know, and I sort of just ride on that little mountain of what they do, sound-wise. And that's why I enjoy playing with them, you know. Besides, they're kind of okay guys to hang out with, you know. Also, Keith has a perfect place for rehearsals out by the beach. I can't resist that.
Yeah, we saw the video.
Yeah, it's a good thing he lives by the beach, you know. Cause
Brad lives down the street too.
Yeah. They do. I love the songs. They're beautiful, and the lyric is poetry. Really, it's not like lyrics.
Here we go.
It is poetry. It is really.
They. He. Is. A. P. U. A punk.
Very much so.
Hey, what are you? What?
Very much so. He's in his colorful clothes today.
He. Don't. Think. P. O. Poetry. Is. P. Punk?
I wouldn't know. What would you think? Is poetry punk?
There are punk poets. I understand. John Cooper Clarke comes to mind. But no, I mean the punk thing, that's just where I came from. That's how I started playing music. And you know.
It is kind of like
not so much now.
What? When I S T A started L U lover we T H R through everything into the mix. Yeah, so every type and genre of music.
That's what music is. I think it's like you are what you eat. You grow up with everything you hear, which is a lot of things, especially in this country. You know, and then if you get a chance to travel and other places in the world where there's more of a focus on their sort of kind of music, that adds to your life too. Take it home with you.
Two kinds of music, good and bad.
That's what Duke said.
Yeah, that's so true.
It T H R E A threatens a lot of people at first. When we first started, people got uncomfortable that we mix genres.
Yeah.
Why don't
you
just play all your blues,
like from 8 to 9, and your punk and your classical, and just threw it all together.
Well, like it used to be in the 70s, with like underground radio. You hear everything. Right. And you know, you could pick what you wanted, what you liked, you know?
It is odd how they try to keep it separated so much.
It's easy,
categorize.
When I was running that jazz club, Jazz Nouveau, same thing. Mm-hmm. Jazz, you know, classic people would just, they'd be bored. The fact that everything wasn't completely straight jazz.
Purists.
They used to make, they didn't know that I was a rock guitarist or a folk guitarist, and they'd be making snide comments about rock and rollers. And it used to annoy me so badly.
And? J. A. Jazz was a S-O-U-P, a soup, at the beginning. S, so, what is P, U, pure? So what is pure?
Music.
Sound, music, yeah. Which is sound.
Right.
Vibration.
Yeah, as long as people don't try to analyze it too much, that's when there's problems. People try to analyze it too much. So just listen.
What do you say, music journalists are bad?
Some people make music and other people sit around and criticize.
Journalists are just making a living too. I've had like a journalist write with our group of John Handy a wonderful article from a trip that was abroad. We did the same show here.
They
did the same show and for another newspaper, another magazine. Put a bad review for the same show, and I don't think there was that much difference in either show. But they just, yeah, it's a market. Well, I think it's a market thing too. Some of these writers, they just, they're not honest people. Cause they just, they're making a living and trying like the newspapers or any news media for sensation and.
Yeah, they have their own agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes these writers have their own agenda.
To make their living.
They. W, R, right, for what they think their audience will A, except?
Oh yeah, I think so. Because they are, you know, they're marketing like anybody else. Magazines, newspapers. Well, what magazines and newspapers are left now? That's changing too.
Yeah. The.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Brown is here for us. Happy Gourmet. He was on cable for a while. That's the Hippie Gourmet.
Oh, yeah,
I
used to watch your show.
That's
good. The Hippie Gourmet.
He's the Hippie Gourmet.
I think I've seen you.
It's
your favorite.
Yeah, I look a little different.
TV, we used to watch it.
He's our manager. I mean,
It was B. It was V. Very. G. O. O. Very good. The show, the Hippie Gourmet show, is very good. Yeah.
Still going on. Taking a little hiatus. Things are going to continue somehow. My book is still out there.
L. You. Lover. Would. Lover would play your show. We do video, obviously. Yeah.
Cool.
Your O L old, your old show, no, your old E E P E L E L, no, your old
Episodes?
Oh, we could play your old episodes.
Yeah, they're all on YouTube.
They're all on YouTube.
Yeah, like 100 of them are out there now. We did over 200 episodes.
Wow.
That's a lot. Started on free TV, and then moved to PBS, and now we're on your TV 20, Channel 13.
Hey, maybe we've got a few minutes. We can go into the kitchen and we can stir a few things up. We did a great stir fry last night. We had what did we have? We had barbecue. I went over to this house. We had barbecued salmon.
Oh,
we had grilled prawns. Bok choy and a wok.
Awesome. M. 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 B. O. O. B. O. O. Book him.
Next time, yeah, Bruce drove us over here. Maybe next time when you guys interview him, I'll
drive him over. Feel free to harass my producer. On the
we have P. L. A. played your video, S. your videos on cable.
Yeah, I've seen that list. That's really good. That's great. Yeah. That's so cool that you've done that. Really appreciate that.
S. P. S. P. O. No, so. They. S. A. saw your P A your pad
viewers that are watching us now on cable. That's my house at the beach, but the Corsica tracks that you've been playing, those were recorded at the Jazz Nuva Boat Club at the cannery that we used to be associated with, so we did the King of Everything that you've been playing on the video. That's one that we did. And that was recorded by Jazz.
And N O E Noel.
Yeah, Noel Redd.
He played all that stuff.
That's good, He was a great guy. So when we do big electric gigs, we have a bass player, drummer, sax player. That's like the full electric lineup. And like a couple of those guys played with me prior to this group, and that was 3:05 a.m. Then we backed Noel Redd on three tours, and we did a couple of records with him that did pretty good. So we have a soft spot in our heart there. He was a big guy. He died a few years ago.
And U P R O produce?
Yeah.
No. Produce?
Yeah. The record for Noel Redding and Arthur Lee in Love too. I did something for Arthur Lee when he was in prison. But that's a whole other episode, trust me.
What?
Another hour.
What?
Arthur Lee in Love, the last gigs that he ever played before he died, because he died a couple of years ago, our electric full lineup opened for him, and that was a couple of fun nights.
Was that his last?
Last gigs he ever did.
Wow. We were there. First time I ever saw him.
That song that we did tonight, Windfall Land, you know, it was one of the most spirited things we did. It's like driving in folk rock. When we played that at Cafe du Nord, I looked out in the audience, and Arthur Lee was like 3 feet ahead of us, in front of us, like rocking out. So that was really cool to see him do that. And then that's why I introduced him to Sandy.
Oh, yeah. He's a funny guy.
How so?
Well, he was just kind of out there swaying. Just kind of, nothing wrong with feeling good.
Arthur was a piece of work.
Yeah, and he was very kind to me.
How was he kind to you?
Oh, he was just kind, just smiling and very complimentary, you know, complimenting play and stuff like that. He loved the sound of everything. It was kind of a wild night though, because he
was out there.
Yeah, he got out there, not with me though, but with other persons that were there. So I saw all kinds of sides of him. So different kinds of him. But the one that approached me was really nice.
The side.
The side that came in
was really nice. He was an interesting bunch of guys.
R U S S I Russian R O L L E
Russian roulette. Russian roulette. Oh, with him? Oh, yeah, with any personality like that. It is like Russian roulette, because you don't know what to expect. And 1 minute, well, within the, like this much time, the other side has arrived. So, it is like Russian roulette with someone like that.
Yeah, he was an intricate. Are you that familiar with his music, Arthur Lee and Love? They were from the Los Angeles, like, mid-60s rock scene. The Doors were discovered opening for Arthur Lee and Love. And so they were, like, one of the first African, you know, they had African Americans in the group, but they weren't a soul band or a blues band. They were, like, a psychedelic folk rock band, and they were pretty cool.
How did you meet
No. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I became or wanted to become a musician because when I was a kid, my bands that I really liked and whose records I collected was Jimi Hendrix Experience and Arthur Lee and Love. So I amassed this big collection of Jimi Hendrix tapes and records and everything I got my hand on. And over the years, I was put into contact with other big collectors and people that had, you know, like historians or writers and that sort of thing. And so through those connections, at the end of, like, 1997, I was introduced to Noel just through, like, writers and stuff. In London, they were making where Jimi Hendrix used to live with his girlfriend, Kathy Etchingham. They were turning it into a monument called a blue plaque, where they were making it a historical place, you know. So there was this big ceremony, and I was invited over with my girlfriend, Susan, and a few other people to go over there. There was this big unveiling, and all the press were there, and like 2,000 people showed up, and it was this big event. And when I was there, and I met Noel through that, I told Noel that I was also a professional musician, and if he ever wanted to come to the West Coast, that I could set up, you know, book him some gigs, get him a backing band, do some recording, whatever. And within about a week after this big event in London, this is in September of '97, he called me up and said, book the gig. So it's pretty funny when you play with somebody like Noel Redding, and you call these booking agents and promoters, they immediately return your calls. It's so funny how that works. Next thing you know, we were like headlining the Haight Street Fair, and we're playing the Maritime Hall and the House of Blues in Hollywood. So immediately, the group that I had, which was prior to Korsakoff, 3 or 5 a.m., we did a bunch of these tours with Noel Redding, and we'd play the opening act for Noel Redding. We'd also be his backing band, and we did some recording. And it was the same with the record stuff. As soon as I had all these tapes, I sent them to the record companies, and they call me back. So we did a record, and then we did a couple of tours, and that led to me being able to produce Arthur Lee and Love, and, you know, it's interesting how it all works out. The whole idea is if you get some doors opening, is to, like, go through those doors and have other doors open. So that's where Korsakoff fits in.
And F-O-L-L, follow and follow.
Yeah, exactly. And so I had known Brad and been playing with Brad since like 88, and we'd always been able to write good songs together. So after 3 or 5 a.m. broke up, I had some songs laying around, and Brad was immediately able to write the lyrics for it. So then we took a couple of guys from 3 or 5 a.m., and we had another band, and then I met Sandy, and we made the record, and we're able to, you know, do the art show here and there. We're just trying to keep everything moving forward. Got to keep moving. You can never give up. I think
that's a tune, isn't it?
I have been doing your thing for 40 years, maybe, something like that. It keeps he evolving.
Yeah. Gotta keep moving forward.
Not in a L, not in a P L A N planned kind of way. It evolves, but not in a planned kind of way.
Yeah, you can't plan things too much.
Kind of follow your heart, I think, is more like it. Follow what you desire. Try to stay away from those things that are undesirable. Big industry music.
You, W, have, D, O, done that.
That's my whole life. You know, and as keeps us, keep going. You know, and I think the older you get too, sometimes it's not easy to find what you want to do. Sometimes you don't realize that until a certain time. And the older you get, I think the more you realize, the more you, what you really want. It's more important. You just kind of stick with that.
Yes. I and things keep C O coming
all the time.
Yeah, and that's our experience is as also just like being comfortable with that. Like Frank used to talk in terms of contraction and expansion, and that there are times when everything is very expansive and it appears like there's a lot going on, and then there's times when it's contracting.
Yeah.
And that the contracting times are as important as the expanding times, and just to ride them out and enjoy them and don't see them as less than. And it seems like that really allows things to keep moving forward, you know, kind of this.
Yeah. It's sort of like the economy right now.
Right.
That's true, though.
Yeah.
God, what I found with the music business, though, when it's happening, it's happening, and when it's not, it's not. Yeah. You can fight it, and you can force it, or try to force it, and you can try to smash your head against the wall, and and if it ain't happening, it ain't happening, and it's gotta go with the flow.
And even then, there's surprises sometimes. At those times,
every 5 years, that's what we've noticed the pattern. Every 5 years, Frank says he's hot. Everybody wants to book him. Everybody wants to play with him. And it's like, oh my God, you know, we're performing all the time, and then it's like, boom, and then it's over. And, you know, like now we mainly go to Los Angeles to perform. Because most of there's no clubs around here that will book us.
Wow.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, for a while we were performing like constantly in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And then, boom, it just dried up. And then it's like, that's, I mean, that's been like, you know, 40 years it's been like that. And all of a sudden, N O now it can, it may be O opening up again around here. For us. Well, we were at a point where we couldn't even rent a space. People wouldn't even rent a space to us.
They wouldn't even take your money.
No. Why? We even tried like yoga spaces at one point.
Yeah.
And we actually wrote a check to a guy and had it booked, and then he went home and looked at our website and said, oh, I don't think people would feel comfortable doing yoga on a Sunday morning after you guys perform there on a Saturday night. And... you, because there's nudity and the stuff that you do.
Oh, I get you.
And so it's like, yeah. But of course, you know, Frank pointed out, historically, you know, yoga was about nudity way back when, but it's like in its current incarnation in the United States, it's not about nudity. But now we have a space that we are renting in Oakland, and we're doing a series, a monthly series, and... so it feels like there's something, you know, there's an opportunity again to do something. It was, you know, it was jam packed the first night we did it. So hallway.
Where's the space?
The Temescal Arts Center. It's in Oakland. Don't know where they're doing.
It's down in that Temescal neighborhood. Down near.
Splitter Pizza, right on the corner there. Yeah. I.
Where the Omni used to be.
In the area where the Omni used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. S. T. A. R. T. E. Started.
Stop. Love train and roll.
P. U. Punk. What was the first, you started in punk? We did a show at the Mabuhe for 3.5 years in the 70s.
Yeah.
With Dirk Dirksen. You probably played at the Mabuhe.
Oh, yeah.
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 Wild times. Yeah. We played there once a week or twice a week. We were the Saturday night early show for 3.5 years, the Outrageous Beauty Review.
Outrageous Beauty Review.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah.
In the 70s?
Yeah, we started in 78. We actually started in 77. Frank did a play there. And Dirk loved it, even though nobody came. Dirk loved it. And anything you ever want to do to your friend, it's yours. So he dreamed up this idea of a takeoff on a beauty contest. And it was supposed to be a one-night thing. And place was like standing room only, and there were like rows of press. And we were used to doing things where like 3 people showed up.
And a dog.
Yeah, and it was like, what, you know? And we were like in the, you know, in all the local and international publications. So Dirk comes backstage, make an announcement, it's a weekly show. And Frank, you know, being flexible and following, said, okay. You know, we dropped the play that we had been rehearsing.
Was there any nudity?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. It was the 70s.
I, J, U, S, just, G, got, go, G, O, Googled. I just Googled. Oh, wait. He Googled himself. A couple weeks ago, and there was an article written about punk, like the history of punk, by B. Vale, the guy who does the research magazine, and which, you know, we knew back in those days, and everybody kept saying, B. Vale, F. R. Freaked Out. Yeah, that was like kind of a lot of what we got was people were very uncomfortable, and which Dirk loved, you know, that's exactly what I wanted to say every week, because all the punks were uncomfortable, but V. Vale was very uncomfortable, and everybody used to say, how come they don't include you in one of their magazines, Frank? You know, Frank said, well, they're uncomfortable with us. What do you mean they're uncomfortable with you? They do all this,
I know.
Like, you
know. Really?
But he wrote an article about get it out. Let's see. See if I can figure it out. Maybe it's in here. And he finally acknowledged. He finally acknowledged it. I might have to do do it another way, because I don't think I'm going to fight it this way. Okay, talk for a minute. We need a minute.
Funny thing happened on the way to the show tonight. We were walking down the street, bumped into this guy. He said, maybe I can play Hoodoo Man. Maybe not. Maybe.
Grab your guitar, Keith.
That's packed away. I want to play Brad's guitar.
No, you can't play that song on my guitar. That's right.
It won't let you.
That's right.
Stop it.
All right, I'm gonna. What punk? What is punk rock? And how did it begin?
Velvet Underground. Andy Warhol. New York Dolls.
The Kingsmen.
Wow, that's
wow.
It's like you've done this sort of thing before.
I have it in a binder somewhere. What is punk rock and how did it begin? An essay by B. Dale. Back in the 70s in San Francisco, life was a lot simpler. The punk rock Garden of Eden, where punk was born in San Francisco, was the Mabuhay Gardens on Broadway, the only venue in town that would dare host punk rock. Why? Because the policy of Dirk Dirksen...
Oh, there's a picture of Frank with Dirk on his lap.
It's right there.
Oh yeah.
It's like a year before he died. Because the policy of Dirk Dirksen, who booked the Fab Mab, was to give anyone at least one chance without a preconceived restrictive aesthetic. The Mab was open 7 days a week with 3 to 5 quote acts a night. So this was a lot of time slots to fill. This was before the rise of the DJ. Thus was created a nearly anything-goes opportunity for anyone who came up with a live act. No other local club had this booking policy, and this is the reason San Francisco punk started at the Mabuhay. One of the most unusual acts that played regularly through the first years of San Francisco punk was Frank Moore's Theater. They have not gone down in punk history. It was whispered that Frank, along with his wife Linda, who struck me as a kind of Manson girl, headed a commune in Berkeley, and that everyone slept together in one huge bed. Their act seemed a bit creepy. Frank, confined to a wheelchair, had the wizened, twisted little body of a geek or spastic, with flecks of drool on his clothing. He wore a headband with an antenna on his head that enabled him to communicate, usually in a rhythmic shrieks and yelps that were near impossible to decipher. But Linda seemed to understand him perfectly. She was his, quote, medium. Frank Moore's group, which looked like Manson girl runaways and social misfits, enacted bizarre performances incorporating rants, music, and dance that were definitely elementary enough to be punk rock, even though most punk rockers had difficulty processing the act and were puzzled, yet too baffled to show outright disparagement. Looking back, Frank Moore's show truly realized the punk credo of do-it-yourself/anyone-can-do-it. Because if Frank Moore can do it, truly anyone could do it. He took the do-it-yourself-anyone-can-do-it punk proclamation seemingly about as far as it could go.
That's great.
And we finally acknowledge him. 4. B, A, C, back, handed, compliment, but,
I
It. S. H. O. Shows. We. V. G. O. Got. To. We got to him.
It shows we got to him.
Is that a wrap?
That's a wrap.
So maybe we should say who you are and all that stuff in your website.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We're at CorsicaBand.com, and there you can get links to the MySpace and YouTube videos and to pretty soon to iTunes and several other places where the CD is available for downloads, and pretty soon, about 4 to 6 weeks, we will have hard copies available to order as well.
Yep.
So thanks, Chuck.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, Frank.
Thank you.
It was really fun.
Pleasure.
All right. Well, anytime you want us to come back, we'll do it.
Remember that. Right. Yes. And J A M. We could jam.
Yeah.
Frank plays the piano.
Yeah.
Cool.
This is a piano band.
Underneath
it's
all
so
the
pretty.
Debris.
It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, Mikey painted that.
It's like Aborigine kind of thing.
He grew up in Australia.
It's beautiful.
Wonderful.
Are you Australian?
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm American, but I grew up in New Zealand.
Same.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah, thank you so much.